This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا سيستر ياشمين، أهلا لايت سبريد، أهلا أهلا ومرحبا. وان ساكت يا الله. بسم الله. وعليكم السلام. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Those of you on Facebook, those of you on Instagram, السلام عليكم again. How are you? Can somebody from Facebook type anything? I want to see how. I don't know. Sometimes I just can't read the text from Facebook. So I want somebody to take, you know, just type in something. Something nice, of course. كيف حالكم? How are you guys doing today? How's everyone doing? السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. يا هلا ومرحبا يا هلا ومرحبا. Today inshallah ta'ala all of us are again going back to the Prophet's wedding inshallah. We did not finish his wedding, so today we're going to live with him again with his wife Aisha radiallahu anha, and then after Aisha we're going to spend some time with the Prophet in Medina. Assalamu alaikum. I don't understand why I cannot read some of the comments on Facebook. It's just driving me crazy. Okay, hello, salam, Yasmin, Nawal, Mona, Monroe, alaikum salam, Zoe, and who else? Wa alaikum salam, ahlan, Hisham, long time no see, Hisham. Bye, Zul Aziz, all the way from Indonesia, and Tabit, Aim, and Light Spread from Toronto, my man, from Milton. Wa alaikum salam, rahmatullah, barakatuh. Ahlan, ahlan, wa marhaba. Those of you out there on Facebook, welcome, thank you for coming. So let's start. Brothers and sisters, yesterday we talked about, you know, in the second year of the Hijrah, because Prophet Muhammad did not get married after Aisha, after Khadija passed away. So when Khawla, she came to him, radiallahu anha waldaha, you know, Khawla bint Hukayn asked, you know, telling Prophet Muhammad, aren't you going to get married? And then he, every time somebody tells him about marriage, he thinks of Khadija. So he puts his head down. Is there anybody like Khadija? Then she told him, who's going to look after the, you know, the house and the kids? Because Fatima, well, she was still a baby at the time. Yani not a baby, but a kid at the time. Yani she was young. Who's going to look after the house and the household? And then he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, who shall I marry? And then she tells him, version or non-version, you just name it, Ya Rasulullah, we'll find it for you. She says, oh man, la ilaha illallah. In shi'ta bikran wa in shi'ta tayyiba. If you like to marry a version, we can find you a version. If you want to marry a non-version, we'll find you a non-version. It's up to you, Ya Rasulullah. It's all there, it's all available. It's all available. Okay, well, la ilaha illallah. It's all available, Ya Rasulullah. And then he says, from the version Aisha, and from the non-version Sauda. But he already, you know, that he married Sauda. And I told you yesterday about Sauda. When he married Sauda radiallahu anha, she was, you know, in her 80s. She was a widow who lost her husband. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he married her to, you know, embrace her, alayhi salatu wasalam. So at any rate, he, you know, he told her to go and ask. Go and ask Aisha, I mean her father. So she went Khawla to Abu Bakr's home, and then she found Raman. Raman, she was Aisha's mother, Abu Bakr's father. I mean Abu Bakr's father. Raman, I'm mixed up now. You know, this thing cannot come up from my head, man. Come on, come on, snap out of it. Anyway, Raman, she was Abu Bakr's wife. Right, she found her, then she says, Abshir, this is the best day of your life. I'm coming from the Prophet. He's asking to marry Aisha. And then Raman says, well, wait until Abu Bakr comes. So then when Abu Bakr comes, stop it! Stop it! When Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came back, And then she says, Ya Rasulullah, I'm here from, you know, Rasulullah alayhi wasalam has sent me to, you know, asking for Aisha's hand. And then he says, well, let us, he says, wait. Wait for what? Because Aisha was already being asked by somebody else, by Hakim. You know, one of the, you know, he was not a Muslim. You know, he was not a Muslim, but he asked for her. He, you know, before, this is subhanAllah in Jahiliyyah, before even Islam. Before Islam. And then, radiallahu anhu warda, he went to her first. He went to her first, I mean, to her home. I mean, not to her home. He went to that guy's home first and asked his mother, his family, are you still willing to marry my daughter? The mother said, aren't you, you know, are we going to let my, you know, my son, our son marry a woman who came out from our religion, who came out from our tradition? No. And then he turned to the man and asked him, are you going to, what do you say? You know, so he asked him, what do you say? What's your opinion? He says, I am with whatever my mother says. And then when Abu Bakr got that confirmation that they are no longer willing to proceed with the marriage, then the Prophet, you know, Abu Bakr told Khawla to tell Rasulullah, you know, to come and ask for Aisha's hand. And that's what happened, brothers and sisters. The night of the wedding, Prophet Muhammad and Aisha. That's what we're going to talk about tonight, inshallah ta'ala. A beautiful wedding, very simple, yet very romantic. Very romantic. Simple, but romantic. Brothers and sisters, are you ready? Tell me, are you ready? We're going to go on now with the wedding of Rasulullah with Aisha radiallahu anha. Are you guys ready? By the way, she's 9 years old. The khitba, she was seven. The khitba, she was seven. The rishta, as they say, you know, in Urdu. The rishta, she was seven. But the wedding, consummated the marriage when she was 9 years old. And I mentioned yesterday, 9 years old. It is in the tradition of the Arabs at the time. She was it's in the tradition of the Jews at the time. Even the Christians in Europe, you know, girls used to marry when, you know, at a very, very, very early age. It has nothing to do with the, you know, man chauvinism and this and that. It is all wrong. And I mentioned yesterday also that a 9-year-old girl in Arabia, in the desert, is like a 16-year-old girl in Canada or in the UK, for that matter, right? They grew up, the subhanAllah, the physics, the chemistry is different, you know, the everything is different, subhanAllah. And it's hot there. The Arabia is hot in there, you know? So, okay, anyways. So she says, Aisha, she says, and I was light. You know, 9 years old, she was still, you know, skinny, light. And her mother, she started feeding her, feeding her a lot. She started feeding her just so she can have some weight, you know? So she can gain some more. She can gain some weight, you know, before her wedding, radiallahu anha wa ardaha. So she called me. My mother called me. Ya Aisha, Aisha. And I say, ha ha. Aisha, she says, ha ha. She was playing. She's a girl. She's playing with the kids. Ha ha. Come, ya Aisha. And she was running, you know, like running, and she's running out of breath. You know, and her mother called her, Umm Ruman, Aisha, Aisha, this is the night of the wedding, they have to prepare her. And then, what? I'm playing. And then the women of the Ansar, they took Aisha to, mashallah, to prepare her for this amazing, beautiful night, you know, her wedding night. So, يَأْخُذُ بِشَعْرِي وَيُصْلِحْنَهُ. She says, they were brushing my hair. Ya salam. There were no extensions at the time, sisters and brothers. They were, you know, yes, probably she was definitely maybe putting whatever the makeup of the time, whatever it was. But she says, they were brushing my hair. the women of the Ansar, they were preparing me. You know, maybe something beautiful that she was wearing. If they were brushing her hair, that means they were probably doing things to her face as well. It's a no-brainer. Come on, don't ask me these types of questions. Like, really, did she put makeup or lipstick or this? Whatever it was available at that time, I'm sure she would have done it. She's a woman. She's a girl that's just like any woman who likes to look beautiful, who likes to look, you know, pretty, who likes to look, you know, for her husband. Come on, right? So sometimes, you know, just some common sense, brothers and sisters. Aywa na'am, you know, عنده الزين عنده الحمام ديرو في دارو. So it was just like the zin. So she, you know, she's trying to make herself beautiful, you know, and she says that the Ansar, they were brushing her hair. You know, so she was getting ready. So the Prophet Muhammad عليه السلام had, you know, he had a short wedding, you know, when he invited the Sahaba and he offered them, you know, he announced the marriage, of course. You've got to announce the marriage. So he announced the marriage, people came, you know, he gave them some, you know, food and drinks. And there were some girls as well. And then the Prophet Muhammad, when they were giving out the, you know, the drinks, the leban. When they were giving away the leban, the halib, you know, the milk. So they came to the girls, and the girls, they said, no, we're okay. No, you know, like, nay, you know, in Urdu, no. So the Prophet Muhammad told them, you know, he says, قَالَ لَا تَجْمَعْنَ جُوعًا وَكَذِبًا. Don't add your hunger to the lying. You know, you're lying and you're hungry at the same time. Take the drinks. And then they took the drinks and they drank. They were just shy, you know, girls. So when the Prophet Muhammad finished with his, that wedding, alayhi salatu wassalam, brothers and sisters, I want to read people from Facebook, La ilaha illallah. Somebody says something. When the party kind of like celebration, finished, and Prophet Muhammad went back to the house, and Aisha, she was still there with Asma bint Zayd. Asma bint Zayd was the one, you know, brushing Aisha's hair, you know, so she was still with her. And then Prophet Muhammad, he came, and then he gave Aisha a drink. Sisters, brothers, watch this. I'm already laughing, you know, because it's funny, you know. So Prophet Muhammad came back home, and then he brought some milk with him, right? So he gave Aisha some drink, you know. And Aisha, probably she was like shy, had her head down, you know. So the Prophet sat down, and he gave her some milk, you know. So Aisha said, like, no, she didn't want. And then Asma hit her like, take it. It's like, take it. And then Aisha, she took the drink, you know. she took the milk from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu. She says, فَأَخَدْتُهُ وَشَرِبْتُ مِنْهُ استحييتُ وَطَعْطَعْتُ رَأْصِي. She says, I was shy and I put my head down, and when the Prophet gave me the milk, I just did not take it, you know. فَدَفَعَتْنِي أَسْمَاء. فدفعتني أسماء. So أسماء, she pushed me, you know. أسماء, she just like, take it. So فأخذته وشربت منه. I took it and I drank from it. It's a very, very simple wedding. Prophet's home with Aisha. He did not have much in his home, by the way, brothers and sisters. What Prophet had in his home are three things. He had firashuhu hashuhu leaf, a bedding filled, you know, the inside of it was filled with, you know, palm leaves. And then what we said, hashu halif, and a pillow, also, you know, like filled with palm leaves, leaf. And then jarratu ma' wa hasir. Altogether, four items he had in his home. A water holder. وحصير, the hasir, that the rock that he prays on, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or sometimes that he sits on. That's all he had in his home, which was actually the home of Aisha radiallahu anha wa ardaha. the closest house to the Masjid of the Prophet, which is today the Rawdah, which is today the Rawdah, which is, you know, where the Qabr of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is. That's all he had: a bedding, a pillow, a water holder, and hasir. So Prophet gave her a drink. She was shy. She put her head down. Asma, she pushed her, you know, take it. She took it and she drank. Radiallahu anha wa ardaha. Brothers and sisters, do you know how much her dowry was? Do you know how much Aisha's dowry was? 500 dirhams. 500 dirhams at that time was not a substantial amount, but not even, you know, something cheap either. But the Prophet says, أَكْثَرُهُنَّ بَرَكَةً أَقَلُّهُنَّ مُهْرًا. Those who have maybe the lowest mahr will have the biggest barakah. Those who have the lowest mahr will have the greatest barakah, or the biggest barakah. But, sisters and brothers, just so the parents understand and the family understand here that, yes, it's sunnah, you know, not to, you know, to have low mahr, but not to cheapen your daughter. Not to cheapen your daughter. Like this guy is a true story. He came, you know, someone came to ask for this man's daughter's hand. So because he's such a very pious man, he told him, just give me one dirham. Because you're pious and this and that, you know, you're from the Quran and jail, you know, just give me one dirham and that's it. And that man, subhanallah, you know, after he married that wife, and after some time living with her, whenever they used to get into an argument, he used to tell her, you're only worth one dirham. Huh? Yes. He used to insult her by saying, you're only worth one dirham, one dirham. At some point she got angry and then she went back to her family. Dad, he keeps, you know, insulting me. He says, I'm only worth one dirham. So he says, okay, well, let's teach him a lesson. He took his daughter back. Asked for divorce. No, I want her back. I want her back. You want her back? I want her back. Okay, we're going to renew the, you know, give her a talaq. No, they give her back. I want her back. She wants the mahar. And then he asked for a very, not nominal, you know, a mahar, but now he asked for, like, I don't know, what, some ridiculous amount, you know, just so to teach him a lesson. Do not insult my daughter. You want her back, you want her back, just like this Moroccan, you know, he was so mean to his wife, but he was smart, but he was mean, you know, so he got into an argument. They keep arguing, you know, he's not valuing his wife, right? So she was really nice with him and everything, but one day she just blew up and then she left. She went back home and she asked for a divorce. So the husband, after some time, he misses his wife and he wants her back. This happened in Morocco, just so you know, right? My place. So he wants his wife back. He calls her back. And this guy's smart and he's naughty. Although he's like, you know, he was kind of like abusing her, but he's a naughty guy. So he feels bad now and he wants his wife back. He calls her back. Please come back. Please, I miss you. Please this, please that. She told him, there is no way I'm coming back for you. There's no way. Oh, please, I beg you. I'm sorry. I will not do this again. I promise you I'll be good. I promise you'll do this. I promise you'll do that. She says, you know what? Go get a glass. A cup. He went and he got a cup. And then she told him, break that cup. Throw it on the ground. And then he threw it on the ground. And they're talking on the phone. She says, you see? You broke it. Can the glass comes back and you put the pieces, the debris, can you put the pieces back? He says, no. He says, likewise, I will not come back to you. Just like that glass which you have broken, I will not come back to you. He says, well, the glass that I threw was from plastic. It was not glass. That's why he says a Moroccan. He says, the cup that I threw, it was not glass, it's a plastic, it did not break. She says, La hawla wa la quwwata illa, only Allah can defeat you. Come and get me from my home. And then he went and he brought her back. It's smart. Anyways, so Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you gotta be smart sometimes, you know. Yeah, you want to play with Moroccans, you can, you know. But anyways, Prophet Muhammad gave her 500 dirhams for her mahr. But she was the most beloved to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He used to love her so much. Yes. The first love of Khadija, incomparable. But then came Aisha. Aish, so much so. Amr ibn As, I mentioned that yesterday, when he came back from this battle, Ma'arakat the Salasil, and he came back as a winner, right? And then he came back to Rasulullah to give him the great news. And then he told him the great news, he said, Rasulullah, who do you love? He wanted the Prophet to tell him, I love you. He says, who do you love? He says, I love Aisha. He says, no, from the man. And he wants the Prophet to tell him, I love you. You did a great job. He says, from the man, Abuha, her father. And then after that, he says, I love Umar. And then after that, Uthman. After that, Ali. He says, he mentioned 20. And I was not there. So he shut up. But first and foremost, he mentioned Aisha. I love Aisha. Aisha, she used to tell Prophet Muhammad, Ya Rasulullah, how much do you love me? Brothers and sisters, those of you who are married, the guys out there, listen up, right? All the guys out there, you know, it is very, very normal when your wife tells you, do you love me? And you just told her, yes, I love you. And for her to come back and to tell you, do you still love me? It's very normal. So guys out there, right? Let me tell you this. When your wife tells you, do you love me? And you tell her, of course I do. Or whatever you say. What is the second question? Because that question is followed up by another question. What is that question? When your wife tells you, do you love me? You say, yes. Then she has another question that comes right after that. What's that question? Let me ask you this. Who knows? Guys, who knows? What's that question that comes right after? Do you love me? Huh? Tell me. Facebook, Instagram, tell me. How much? Yes, means she knows. How much do you love me, Baltagisano? Baltagisano. No, not why do you love me, Leila? That's Rifi thing. That's a Rifi thing. Rifi thing, it's not, you know, that's separate, okay? Rifi stuff is separate. Why do you love me? Even I would not know how to answer that question, right? Even I would not know, you know, how to answer that question. Like, why do you love me? Well, I don't know. I just love you. I don't know. Why do I love you? Because you're the mother of my kids. No, astaghfirullah. No, I don't know. Just you know, that's Rifi. Okay, we don't talk about Rifi stuff. We just talk about what normal question is. How much? So how much? Aisha, she asked the same question. Ya Rasulullah, how much do you love me? How much do you love me? Then the Prophet Muhammad says, كَالْعُقْدَ فِي الْحَبْلِ كَالْعُقْدَ فِي الْحَبْلِ, just like the nut on a rope. When you have a rope and then you have a nut, my love for you is just like the nut on that rope. And then she's happy. She goes around. She says, كُنْتُ أَتْرُكُهُ ثُمَّ أَسْأَلُهُ كَيْفَ حَالُ الْعُقْدَ. Allahu Akbar. هذه عائشة. She says, كُنْتُ أَتْرُكُهُ ثُمَّ آتِيهِ فَأَسْأَلُهُ كَيْفَ حَالُ الْعُقْدَةِ. She says, I used to leave him for some time And then I will come back to him and tell him, how's the knot, Ya Rasulullah? You know, the knot in the in that rope. How's the knot, Ya Rasulullah? And then the Prophet Muhammad will say, هي على حالها. هي على حالها. It's still very tight. It's still very tight. And my love for you keeps on increasing. So he had that much love for Aisha radiallahu anha wa arda'ha, alayhi salatu wasalam. So much so, brothers and sisters, that people, they used to bring him, if anyone was to give him gifts from people, right? If they were to give him gifts, they will wait for Aisha's day. Because every wife had one day, you know, where the Prophet would go to their home. He used to go and visit them all, right? But at night, you know, everyone had that particular night. So when people was, you know, were to give him some gifts, they will wait for Aisha's night to come to Rasulullah. So some of the wives got jealous. It is what it is. So Umm Salama, they went to Umm Salama. Umm Salama is like the leader. They went to Umm Salama, go ask Rasulullah, come on, you know, us too. Why do they have to wait for the gifts to be given, you know, at Aisha's day? We want also in our day, in our time, in our day, our nights. And then she went to Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah, Zawjatik Yaqulun, your wives, they're saying. You know, she's one of them too. But she's saying, your wives are saying, Ya Rasulullah, يُطَالِبْنَا أَن تَسْأَلَ النَّاسِ أَن يُقْسِمُوا الْهَدَايَ عَلَى سَائِلِ الْأَيَّامِ. She says, they're asking you to tell people, if they were to give you gifts, to split up the gifts, you know, not only on Aisha's day, but also on the other wife's day. And then Prophet Muhammad says, يَا أُمَّ سَلَمَةَ يَا أُمَّ سَلَمَةَ يَا أُمَّ سَلَمَةَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدَفَ فِي قَلْبِ حُبَّ عَائِشَةَ يَا أُمَّ سَلَمَةَ. Allah has put in my heart the love of Aisha. Allah has put in my heart the love of Aisha. Yes, he loved the others, but Aisha, she had a special love. And he wasn't shy to hide it. Allah put in my heart the love of Aisha. Ya Umm Salama, what can I do? Allah has put in my heart the love of Aisha. And she says, he tells her more, Ya Umm Salama, من من كنا نزل الوحي وأنا في رحابها إلا عائشة. Who amongst you, all the wives, who amongst you the wahi came while I was in her lap, in her home, except عائشة. The wahi used to be revealed in the house of عائشة, not the houses of all the other wives, subhanAllah, except the house of عائشة. So much so it used to be called الصحابة مهبط الوحي. The Sahaba, they started calling the house of عائشة مهبط الوحي. The wahi, the revelation, you know, the fall down of the revelation, or the place of revelation, or the source of revelation, because it's that house, the house of Aisha, the center of revelation. It is mahbat, you know, when the wahi, when the revelation used to come, it used to come in the house of the Prophet, you know, of Aisha radiallahu anha wa ardaha. So the wives were not too happy. Of course, they were not too happy. They went to Fatima. They went to Fatima. And they said, oh, Fatima, talk to your dad. Tell him, we also want to receive, you know, like Aisha, we also. So the Prophet told Aisha, Fatima, Ya Bunayyati, Atuhibbinani, do you love me? Qalat Naam, she says, Naam, I love you, Rasulullah. Atuhibbina man uhib, do you love whom I love? If you love me, do you love whom I love? She says, yes, Ya Rasulullah, I love whom you love. Then the Prophet told her, Ya Aisha, Ya Fatima, فَأَحِبِّي هَذِهِ. Love this, meaning love Aisha. If you love me and you love whom I love Aisha. And then Fatima, she says, وَاللَّهِ لَنْ أُكَلِّمَهُ فِي عَائِشَ بَعْدَ الْآنِ. She says, by Allah, I will never talk to him about Aisha from today on. I will never talk to him about Aisha. خلاص, because I know how much he loves her. رضي الله صلى الله عليه وسلم صلى الله عليه وسلم صلى الله عليه وسلم. Brothers and sisters, Prophet Muhammad with Aisha in their home together. Yes, he would pray together sometimes, or sometimes when she cannot pray, she's lying down, and Prophet Muhammad would pray Qiyam al-Layl, and then when he makes sujood, her feet are kind of like being, you know, laid and, you know, and straight. So he would just move her feet, you know, and then he would make his sujood. He would touch her. He would touch her, push her to the side, and then he would make sujood. So she would pull her feet back, right? She would cross them. And then when he finishes his sujood, he would come up from his sujood, and then she would again stretch her legs one more time. Aisha radiallahu anha wa arda'a. That type of relationship they had. One day, they had this ahbash plane, you know, in the masjid, doing this acrobats, dance in the masjid. So Aisha, she came and she wanted to watch, but she did not want the ahbash, the man, to see her. And remember, her house, you know, between her house and the masjid, there's only partition, there's only a door. So she opened the door, but then the Prophet Muhammad stood by the door, and Aisha, she put her head, yani her cheek like this, not the cheek, this part here, you know, on the katif, on the shoulder of the Prophet Muhammad. So she can just look from above the shoulder of the Prophet Muhammad. And then she kept on watching, and Prophet Muhammad is also watching. And then he turns to her and he says, Ashabi'ti, are you done? And then she says, no, not yet. And then he keeps on watching the acrobat, you know, with, you know, the ahbash, dancing with, you know, and with Aisha. And then he turns to her, Ashabi'ti, are you done? She says, no, not yet. I still want to watch some more. And she says, Aisha, she says, wallahi, it's not because I wanted to watch. She says, wallahi, because I wanted to see how much he loves me and how much he really wants to stay and keep my head, you know, on his shoulder. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. أردت أن أعرف مكانتي عنده. أردت أن أعرف مكانتي عنده. I wanted to see my level, my status, you know, with the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. They used to race together many times. They used to race. So she was light. Remember, in the beginning she was light, you know. So when they raced, then she won. She won the race. So she says, then Prophet Muhammad started feeding me meat for a week. I was eating meat, you know, like he was, but there was just like, you know, there was just like, you know, just eating, you know, she did not think anything, you know, weird or strange. They were just eating. So she was eating, and then she gained some weight. So then he called her to race again. So they went, and this time he raced her. I mean, he won the race. The first time, she won the race. The second time, he won the race. He says, Aisha, هذه بتلك. Or Aisha, this for that. You won once, I won once. We're fair, right? We're equal now. Truce. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Didn't they have any arguments before? Yes, they had some arguments, just like any husbands and wives. Don't think Prophet Muhammad didn't have any misunderstandings with his wife. No, he did. He did, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's a human being, just like any home. So they had an argument one day and a misunderstanding. So the Prophet Muhammad says, okay, should we call a mediator? Hatta Rasulullah, the Prophet, is telling his wife, should we call a mediator to, you know, rule between us? She says, yes. She's talking to the Prophet. Should we call a mediator to rule between us? She says, yes. She says, okay. The Prophet says, okay. How about Ubaidah ibn Amir al-Jarrah? Ubaidah. She says, قالت يا رسول الله رجل طيب. رجل طيب. He says, no, he's too nice. He's going to side with you. Then the Prophet says, okay, how about Abu Bakr, your father? He's not going to side with me. He's your father. She says, yes, okay, I agree. Bring my father. So the Prophet called Abu Bakr. Yeah, Abu Bakr, we have an argument. Can you please come and sort of like, you know, like a rule between us. You decide who's wrong and who's right. And then Aisha, she says, before even her father or the Prophet started talking about the problem or anything, she told her father, she says, قالت, يا قالت, نعم, قلت أنت ولا تقل إلا صدقا. She says to her father, don't speak only the truth. Speak only the truth. And don't side with anyone. Speak the truth. And then her father got so angry. You know, he got so angry. قالت أبو بكر يا بنت أم رومان يا بنت أم رومان your daughter of أم رومان. No, he didn't swear. No, they don't swear, those people. He says, your daughter of أم رومان, يعني your mother, your daughter of your mother, your daughter of your mother. لا أنا أقول إلا صدقا. Don't I speak only the truth? I only speak the truth. And then he came towards her, and then she came to hide behind the Prophet. Then she came to hide behind the Prophet. Look, this is the argument they had. And then she came to hide behind the Prophet, just like a rooster and a chicken. The chicken hides behind the man, the rooster. So the Prophet told Abu Bakr, Ya Abu Bakr, we did not bring you for this. We brought you to settle this matter, you know, to rule between us. Abu Bakr got angry, then he left. And then the Prophet told her, Aisha, you see, I protected you. And then they started laughing. Abu Bakr heard them laughing, and then he came back. He says, Ya Rasulullah, as you made me angry, you both, and she made me angry, you have to make me smile just like you made me angry, you know, like to make me disappointed or upset. You've got to make me smile just like you made me upset. And then they told him, you know, what happened, and then they all started laughing. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad. So brothers and sisters, they lived together. She lived with him for 9 years. Aisha and Prophet Muhammad, they lived together. She lived with him for 9 years. In that 9 years, brothers and sisters, she memorized so many ahadith. In fact, she was alima. She was a scholar. The Sahaba, they used to say, whenever something we used to argue on or we needed someone to settle a matter between us, we used to go to Aisha. She had knowledge if it comes to hadith, fiqh, Quran, adab, anything, they would go to Aisha. Radiallahu anha wa ardaha. In that 9 years, and she was virgin, and she did not bear any child, no babies, subhanallah. As if Allah is telling her, Focus on ilm, and you know, try to collect as much from the Prophet Muhammad as you can, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So, brothers and sisters, here they are, Prophet Muhammad and Aisha living together. This happened in the second year of the Hijrah. Prophet Muhammad, as I mentioned, brothers and sisters, he migrated from Mecca, and for 13 years, he's been looking for someone to support him. He's been looking for someone to assist him. He's been looking for someone to give him nusrah, right? Quraysh did not let him pursue his mission. Quraysh did not let him pursue the message, you know, for the message to be spread. So the Prophet Muhammad needed a town, needed some people to give him nusrah. He tried with al-Ta'if, it did not work. Until the couple kids from Al-Ansar, they came right to Mecca, and they promised that the following year they will bring in more people from Medina to give the oath of allegiance. They came in the next year as 6, you know, and then the following year they came in as 72 people. They came and they gave the oath of allegiance to the Prophet, and they told him, Ya Rasulullah, come to Medina. We're ready for you. And then the Prophet Muhammad migrated to Medina. As I have mentioned, brothers and sisters, Medina was split into 3 segments. You have one tribe called Al-Aws, and one tribe called Al-Khazraj, and one tribe and the Jews. So the Ansar, what we call them, the Ansar, are of 2 main qabilas, Al-Aws and Al-Khazraj. And this Aws and Al-Khazraj, they used to have, you know, prior of Islam, they used to have a rivalry between them. Big rivalry between them. They had war between them. And the Jews also, they threatened the Arabs, you know, in Medina. They said, a prophet is coming from us, from our progeny. Once that prophet comes out, we shall kill you, you Arabs. So now, Medina, as I said, the Ansar who used to live there. There was fight and war between them. So came the prophet. And the first thing he focused on is unity, to bring the brothers together and sisterhood together, to bring them together, you know, in that unity. So he worked on it very hard. And again, something amazing happened in the second year of the Hijrah, between the second and third year of the Hijrah. The Prophet has to settle, he has to establish. The first thing he established is the constitution. But he established the masjid first, he founded the masjid, okay? After the masjid, he made that unity, brotherhood between the Muhajirin and the Ansar. And then after that, he had to set a constitution, alayhi salatu wasalam. So the bylaws, just like, you know, a town, they have their bylaws. So Prophet Muhammad had to set some rules and regulations, alayhi salatu wasalam. Bringing the people together, you know, this history of war, history of animosity between them. So he's trying to bring them together. One day, something happened. What happened? Rufa' ibn Nu'man. Rufa' ibn Nu'man, he is from the qabilat of Al-Aws. He is from the qabilat of Al-Aws. He went to an expedition, like a battle with Prophet Muhammad, and then he earned an armor. He earned a shield. And earning a shield at that time, it's like earning, like having a car, having a very expensive item. An expensive item, right? It's just like not anything. It's a very, very dear thing to have. So when he earned that shield and he brought it with him, it got stolen, right? It got stolen. Who stole it? A man from the Khazraj. His name is Bashir. His name is Bashir. So he went to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he told him, Ya Rasulullah, my shield got stolen. And who stole it? Bashir. So now the Prophet, after all this year of years of bringing, you know, unity, making unity, bringing this unity between the Aws and Khazraj, now this problem that happened, it will just like put everything down in the drain. All the hard work that he worked on, all the efforts he made, this incident in itself, it will destroy everything. A man from the Ahl Khazraj, he stole the shield of a man from the Aws. But what happened was, Bashir and his cousins, they came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, Ya Rasulullah, no. Bashir is not the thief. The thief is Zayd. Who's Zayd? Zayd Nusammin Usammin is a Jew. He is the one who stole the shield. So the Prophet Muhammad, he needs some evidence. Because he was angry at, he got a little bit angry at Rufa'a. Do you have any evidence? You saw Bashir. All of a sudden, these guys came and they said, Ya Rasulullah, no, you know, our cousin did not steal. It is this man who stole. So the Prophet sent Muhammad ibn Maslama, another Sahabi, go to the house of that Jew, Zayd, and check and see if he has the shield. So he went and he checked in the garden. He started looking around in the garden. And then there was he digged the hole by a tree. Then indeed, he found the shield buried in there. He found the shield buried. So they came back to the Prophet Muhammad alayhi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, yes, the shield was in the house of the Jewish man. So the Prophet got a little bit upset at Rufa'a. Rufa'a ibn al-Nu'man. How can you accuse your brother of stealing? The shield was not with him. It was in that house. The Prophet was worried that another war will happen between the Aws and the Khazraj. But alhamdulillah, this news came and it's a Jew. So the Jew got arrested, but brothers and sisters, the Jew was innocent. The Jewish man was innocent. He did not steal. The thief was actually a Muslim. So I have a question for you. All right? I have a question for you. Here's the question. You have your brother or your sister, right? You go to school or work or whatnot, or your family. And then your family, they said, oh, we lost a golden chain. A very, very expensive golden chain got lost in this wedding. And then your sister came to you. And she says, or your brother comes to you and he says, I'm the one who stole it. I took it. I have it. But everybody accused your worst enemy. They accused you have this guy or this girl that you hate the most, and subhanAllah, they accused her of stealing. And they called the police on her, on him, and they arrested her, or they arrested him. Although she or he was innocent. But your sister or brother comes to you and says, I stole it, I have it. Don't tell no one. If you were to tell them, a big thing would happen. Our family's name, we will look so bad, we will look so this and that. So what would you do? I'll give you four options. Would you go and report your sister or your brother? Would you report him or her to the authorities? Because one person got, you know, jailed. One person is arrested for and accused of stealing. Would you go and report that person? Or would you maybe tell your parents and then tell them, it's up to you guys how you deal with it. I don't care, but the one who stole is my brother or my sister. Or number three, would you maybe ask your father or ask someone to buy them, you know, whoever that person who lost that chain, go and give them a chain. Buy them a chain, you know, a golden chain, and give it to them. Or would you just be quiet and don't do anything? Would you, because your brother says, or your sister says, or your best friend says, don't do it. If they were to know that I'm the one who stole, I will be arrested. I will be arrested. They will arrest me and they will take me to jail. So I want you to think before you answer. I want you to think before you answer. What would you do? If you were to report your sister or your brother, they will take her or him to jail. Your mother will go crazy. Your father will go crazy. The whole house will be destroyed because somebody from the family, they're a thief. They're the ones who stole. They're a thief. They're this and that. Your family's name will go down the drain. Number one. Number two, would you be quiet? Would you report them regardless? Regardless, would you report them? Or what would you do? Layla said, just go and okay, Layla, third option. But how about that person who went to jail? You know that person in jail is innocent. What would you do about that person? Buy the chain? Okay, you buy the chain. But how about that person who went to jail, who is accused of stealing the chain, who did not steal the chain? Okay, so you put the family interest, but there is a person in jail, innocent miskin. An innocent miskin in jail. He did not do anything, or she did not do anything, but she's in jail. And you know. So it's not like you don't know. You know there is an innocent person who's been taken to jail because your brother or your sister stole something. So is it family interest? Family interest? Or what would happen? What would you do? Speak the truth? I don't know. You tell me, what would you do? Would you like me to tell you what I would do? Would you like me to tell you what happened? Sisters and brothers, would you like me to tell you what happened? All right, you want to know the story of what happened here? Truth always prevails in the end, no matter what. I don't know. You know, if you want me to tell you, you tell me, you know, and then I will tell you what happened, and I will tell you what my options are or what my choice is. So Moni says, okay, tell me. And then Layla says, okay, tell me. And then Baltajizano say yes, please. And Yashmin says yes. And Kli and Bayzuriaziz say yes. All right. All of you guys also on Facebook, they want me to tell them. All righty. But the only person who smelled it is Mu'nisa. She smelled it. Yes, definitely. It is a cliffy hangy. It's a cliffy hangy. The one with great akhlaq and understanding. It does not matter whether you're talking why they stole. The problem is they have stolen a chain, or they have stolen something, and there's a person who's innocent who's in jail, and their family are crying. All right? There's someone who's in jail, who is innocent, okay, right? And the family is in distress because your brother or your sister is the one who, you know, who has stolen that item. All right. So this is what it is. You know, why did he steal? Are you in debt? Are you this does not matter now. What matters now is something has been stolen and someone is in jail. Right? This is what happens. So brothers and sisters, what will happen? I will mention that next week, inshallah ta'ala. Next week, next Friday, bi'idhnillah, come back to live again, to walk again with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. How would the Prophet handle this? This is in the second year of the Hijrah. He just came. He's building unity. He's building the city. He's building the town. He's going around making sure that Khalas will bring it back, and you know, setting up an army. You know, we need to start. You know, we have our, you know, we send in ministers. He's sending ambassadors. You know, the da'wah has started. You know, so all of a sudden this huge, huge, huge problem happens that will destroy everything. How would the Prophet handle it? We will talk about that next week, inshallah ta'ala. Jazakum Allah khair. Barakallahu fikum. Thank you, Facebook. Thank you, Instagram. Thank you for joining. I had a great time. May Allah bless you. May Allah reward you. Jazakum Allah khair all. Thank you so much. Thank you, Martin Ibrahim. Thank you. Baltagizano. Thank you, Shazia. Thank you. Thank you, Yasmin. Thank you. Thank you all. Thank you. Who else is here? Thank you, Layla. Thank you, Mortal Nawal. All of you. Everybody here. Everybody. Ayim Tabit. Thank you, Nawal. Thank you, Karima. Jazakum Allah khair. Oh, the three musketeers is here today. The three musketeers are here. May Allah, thank you. Thank you. May Allah bless you too. Thanks a lot. Those of you on Facebook, thank you so much. May Allah bless you. I know who you are. I'm going to come back after this session and I'm going to go back and start and responding to your comments. I'm going to go to Facebook and respond to your comments. Jazakum Allah khair. Stay in touch, Facebook. Stay in touch, Instagram. Thank you so much. May Allah bless you. Take care. Zoe Vabi. Thank you, Zoe Vabi. Thank you, all of you. May Allah bless you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Say salam to your family as well. All of them. Martin Ibrahim. Say salam to your family as well. I don't know if Sister Karima, Sister Fatima, I saw her earlier. I don't know if she's here or she's gone. May Allah give her shifa, inshallah ta'ala. All right, you guys. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum, Facebook. Assalamu alaikum.